be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Reading for today. Thus saith the Lord to his own anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I grasp, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him, that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you might know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know that from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord, who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
epistle is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the first chapter. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Said to one another, you see, you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
And sing our confession of faith.
Various ways, this day is all about you. You've studied, you've read, you've learned under the most adverse situations of anyone I know that ever prepared for the office of pastor. But you've met some unfortunate classmates and your own study mates that have faced some uphill challenges too. And here we all are in the midst of COVID-19, your wife's illness, illness in her family, your friends, our family here at Holy Trinity, and others from across the state of Utah here to celebrate this momentous occasion. And we all admire what you've accomplished and the adversities you fought off in order to accomplish it. But it's not all about you. From the Gospel of St. John. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these Greeks came to Philip and asked, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, at the pulpit in St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Amherst, Colorado, one of the pastors who preceded me there as their pastor taped a piece of paper on the pulpit with these words on it: "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." When I ascended to that pulpit to preach my first sermon in that church, which was a funeral sermon on the Friday before my first sermon to the congregation, I saw and I read those words. A chill went down my back and a punch in my gut, because no one was there to hear my words. No one was there to see the new pastor in town. Everyone was there for the same reason. They wanted to see and hear Jesus. Obviously, no one will mistake your looks for that of Jesus. But all of the work, all of the study, all of the sadness you've endured, all of the long conversations we've had in that office over there, all of that has changed you. You are no longer conformed to this world. You have been transformed by the renewal of your mind, Romans 12:4. Before all this, you were like that of the person written by Prophet Isaiah. He wrote, I call you by your name, I name you, though you do not know me. We've had many conversations about how similar we were in our lives before God called us into this special office. He knew you from the day of your baptism when you were baptized into Christ Jesus and baptized into his death. He knew he had you. It just took you a while to recognize it. Like me, in many and various ways, you're a slow learner. But God knows talent when he sees it, and he chose you. Not much differently than he chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the rest of all of those descendants of Jesus. They were predecessors of Jesus, while you become one who is sent by Jesus to tell others of the great and glorious gift this world has in a Savior, who is that Jesus. It's not just a job, it's a command. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them all to believe and all to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, in the Greek, that word go is in the imperative. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that you can be distracted from with other things that you've become comfortable with doing, like running a backhoe or crawling into a crawl space to fix a broken pipe. This command involves eternity for those whom you will teach and baptize. Heavy, right? But here's the good part. Jesus' closing words of the Gospel of St. Matthew, and behold, I'm with you always, the very end of the age. Your lovely wife knows those words. She's been guided by them for the last couple of years. While you and she have some more difficult days ahead, those words should echo in both your minds. I am with you always. You don't have to do it alone. Jesus is with you each and every time you teach some of us skills to help you with spreading the good news of the gospel, and each and every difficult conversation you have with someone of little or no faith. Every time Jesus is there. Addition. You now have the authority not only to preach, but to consecrate the elements for our most holy meal of the Lord's Supper. You'll baptize many and joyfully bring them into the family of God's kingdom, and you will teach. You will teach the good news of salvation because God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Let me now close with the words written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. He writes, finally, brothers, pray for those who preach that the word of the Lord may be spread, may speed ahead and be honored, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that he commands. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. And may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. God, the Lord be with you. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, Robert Marty Bennett has been called by the Lord of the Church into the office of the Holy Ministry of the Word and Sacraments, and he has been prepared for this ministry by careful study and prayer. He's been examined and declared ready and prepared to undertake this sacred responsibility, and by the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit, he has, in the Church's usual order, been called to be specific ministry pastor for Utah Mission. According to apostolic practice, he is now presented to be ordained and consecrated to this office established by God. The congregation, please stand. Amen.
Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Through the diversity of tongues, you gathered together the nations in the unity of the faith. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thank you.
by the blessed light of your holy word, you have led us to the knowledge of your Son. We humbly implore you to replenish us with the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may ever walk in the light of your truth, and rejoicing with your confidence in Christ our Savior, be brought to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the institution of the office of the Holy Minister.
Concerning the institution of the office, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the responsibilities of the office of the Holy Minister.
I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
First Timothy 3:1-7. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. And from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2-4. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the strength and promise that God gives to those in the office of the Holy Minister.
Continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
dear brother in Christ. The Lord grant that you receive and keep these words in your heart so that you may be strengthened and encouraged in your labors. God gathers his church by and around his holy gospel, and thereby also grants its growth and increase according to his good pleasure. That this may be done, he has established the office of the holy ministry into which you have been called by the church and are now to be ordained and consecrated by prayer and the laying on of hands. In the presence of this congregation and before our Lord God, to whom you must give an account, now and at the last day, I ask you, do you acknowledge that the Lord has called you through his church into the ministry of word and sacrament?
I do.
Do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes, I believe and confess the canonical scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
Do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures? And do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
Yes, I believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds because they are in accord with the word of God. I also reject all the errors they condemn.
Do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of the Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the Schmalkald Articles, the Treatise on the Power and the Primacy of the Pope, and the Formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith?
Yes, I make these confessions my own because they are in accord with the Word of God.
You promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with Holy Scriptures and with these confessions.
Yes, I promise, with the help of God.
Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? And will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and the dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living?
Yes, I will, with the help of God.
And finally, will you honor and adorn the office of the holy ministry with the holy life? Will you be diligent in the study of Holy Scripture and the confessions? And will you be in constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care?
I will. The Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
Please kneel. Jesus said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of them, they are retained. Robert Marty Bennett, I ordain and consecrate you to the office of the Holy Ministry of the Word and Sacraments in the one Holy Catholic and the Apostolic Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus pour out on you his Holy Spirit for this office and work, that you may faithfully preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. Amen.
As for you, from 2 Timothy chapter 4, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Strong and courageous, and don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And,
14 says, the truthful witness will save lives. One of the blessings that you have.
Robert, from Psalm 121, take this out as our song, as our intro for today. Words that have guided me all these years, especially here in Utah. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps it will not.
Robert, St. Paul writes the Corinthians and he reminds them, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4.
Robert, my brother in ministry, you have a tremendous challenge ahead of you, one filled with opportunity. Remember that you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he will guide you. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I am with you. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
May the words of the author of Psalm 27, who set out for all of us a path in this life, may those words mark your path. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever in my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of him.
From 1 Timothy chapter 4. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So will you, the faithful, according to the church's public confession and speaking for the whole church, receive Robert Marty Bennett as a servant of Christ and a minister of word and sacrament? If so, then answer, we will.
We will.
Let us pray. O eternal, merciful God, you have spoken through your own dear Son, saying that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers few, and that we should ask you, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into your harvest. Hear now our prayer on behalf of Robert Marty Bennett, who this day is ordained and consecrated to be your minister in the church, and strengthen him mightily to take up the word of truth and faithfully to administer your holy sacraments. O Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, you gave your own life to be a holy and perfect sacrifice for us and for our salvation. Grant Robert Marty Bennett a heart zealous for your people and boldness to guide, comfort, admonish, and serve your congregations with gentleness and wisdom. Fill him, your under-shepherd, with your love, that in your name he will seek the straying and bear up the weak. Give him the heart never to grow weary in the service of your flock. O Holy Spirit, strengthen and keep Robert Marty Bennett in the word of truth and life, and support him in every time of trouble and distress. Make his labors fruitful, and when the day of labor is ended, grant him to come with rejoicing before your presence to receive with all the saints his portion in eternal salvation. To you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory and honor, both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Near you it shall not come.
Beloved in the Lord, Robert Marty Bennett has been called by the Utah Circuit of the Rocky Mountain District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, to serve as a missionary in Utah. So I ask you now, in the presence of God, will you support him by your gifts and fervent prayer? If so, then answer, we will, with the help of God.
We will, with the help of God.
The Almighty and most merciful God, strengthen and assist you always. Are you ready and willing to assume this public trust and responsibility?
I am.
Robert Marty Bennett, I install you as specific ministry pastor for Utah Missions, as a missionary in Utah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Please rise. And let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, our Heavenly Father, guide and bless your servant, Robert Marty Bennett, sent forth to be a witness to Utah. Graciously look with favor upon him for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant him confidence and great boldness. Uphold and sustain him in hardship, and grant him faithfulness in all of his labors, so that through the speaking of your word, the nations may come to worship before your throne in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Go therefore and be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock, preach the word of God, administer the holy sacraments, offer prayer for all the faithful, instruct, watch over, and guide the flock over which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy, for you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name may be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn us from all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we command all who have asked for our prayers and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us to trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not to temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil, both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.